No. Yeah. And I kind of felt a bit daunted by the week ahead, not about the spiritual things and the things I was doing for the Lord, but about work things and the things of the world. I felt a bit daunted by it because I've got three parents' evenings. How unfair is that? Three parents' evenings that were going on till about 6:30, 7 o'clock. And I felt a bit daunted, but do you know, I just gave it to the Lord, gave the week to the Lord, as I do. And I have sailed through this week. It has been the most joyous week. It's been absolutely wonderful this week. And we had Wednesday evening where I shared the word, which was just beautiful. It blesses me, you know, when I share the word. I hope it blesses you. It's all for him. It's all glory to God, but it blesses me as well. And then we had prayer and worship on Friday. And that was after three parents' evenings, friends. And I'm not saying any of that for my glory. I'm giving God all the glory. Because if you put God first in your life and you speak Jesus over your life each day, you'll have a buoyancy. Amen. You really will. And that's what I felt this week. I've had such a buoyancy. It's such a joy. And we've had such a wonderful start to the service, haven't we? Do you know, a few of us gathered this morning. We have some special prayer time. And that just sets the tone, doesn't it? Because you're turning to God straight away. And I just thank God for this word that he's given me today as well, because it is going to bless you. I know it is, because it's blessed me too. Yeah. So thank you for being here. I love you all. You know, when I look out at you all, I love you all. I love you, Mike. I do. I do. I really love you all. And isn't it wonderful to come together on a Sunday? Yeah. This week, I keep thinking about what do people do if they don't do this? Because I can't imagine my life if I didn't have the Lord in it. I really can't. I was there once. I'm not there anymore. I just can't imagine it. And it is such a dark, dark place for so many people. And I just think about how my life has changed from absolute, you would not believe what I was like before. You wouldn't if you knew me now and you've not known me before. But the way I was before, and God's just changed everything. He's just so wonderful, so, so wonderful. So let's just commit this service to him this morning before we dive into the word. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come together this morning. We thank you for those beautiful testimonies, the testimonies of speaking Jesus in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you make a way where no other can make a way. We thank you for your direction and your guidance, your love, your goodness, your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we bring the word this morning, Lord, we focus only on you. It's not about the person delivering. It's not about us here this morning. We are here, not by chance. We are here because you have brought us here. And I pray that each person will leave this building knowing that they have met with a living Savior. Thank you, Father. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 I don't know whether you all heard on Wednesday, but we were talking about compassion and one of the characters of Jesus. And if you think about Jesus in the Bible, we hear about compassion so much and the compassion that just flowed out of Jesus and his love for people. But a few months ago, I shared a testimony about seeing some wrappers on the toilet floor in a really posh restaurant that we'd been to. Does anybody remember? Yeah. And we went to this beautiful restaurant, John and I, and Rebecca was with us as well. It was over summer. And I walked into the toilets, and they were immaculate. They were the cleanest toilets you've ever seen. And on the floor in the toilet cubicle, there was some mint wrappers. So obviously the mints that you get complimentary at the, on the way out. And they were just on the floor. They were just there, these wrappers. And I thought, oh, how inconsiderate. I judged straight away. How inconsiderate. Why would somebody do that? These lovely toilets and these mint wrappers on the floor. And it started to make me think about the lack of reason in the world and the lack of respect, really, within the world. And as believers, they're the things that we should be picking up on. And God actually showed me that what I should do is pick them up. Because we can't judge and criticize people if we're not doing something. And it was interesting because only this week I was listening to Joyce Myers. And Joyce Myers said about if you go into a toilet and there's an empty toilet roll, in your own home or in a friend's home, wherever you may be, don't leave it empty. Change the toilet roll. Yeah? So it's the same thing, isn't it? It's that respect and that, you know, changing things, and people are nudging the husbands now going, are you listening to this? If you see it empty, change it. Don't just leave it for the next person to change. But I thought about those wrappers, and God's continued to speak to me about those wrappers on the floor. And actually, those wrappers could have been dropped by accident, couldn't they? Could have been dropped by accident. Could have been in someone's pocket, and they could have just fallen out. They might not have actually seen that they've fallen out. They may have just dropped on the floor, yeah? So it's easy to judge, isn't it, and say, oh, irresponsible, what disrespect. But actually, if they had been dropped by accident, they knew no better, did they? They knew no better. But you know, that's what I want to touch on this morning. I did speak about this on Wednesday. They know no better. And often, we don't know any better. But the world that don't have Jesus living in their lives, they don't know any better. They're innocent. They're naive. They don't know any different. They might actually let the wrappers drop out and they might see that they're there and they might just leave them on the floor, or they might be completely not aware that they've done that. But again, it points to the lack of reason in the world, doesn't it? Points to that lack of reason. The world is in chaos. We see it, don't we? We see it. I tell you, I don't watch the news, but there's chaos on the news all the time. But they know no better because they don't know Jesus. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The world knows no better because they don't know him. So what can we as believers do about that? What can we do? And that's what I want us to think about this morning. So on Wednesday, we were talking about compassion in action. Today, we're going to be thinking about compassion in action, but through evangelism. We need to tell people, don't we? We need to share the gospel. We need to share Jesus' love. We need to show them. We need to tell them. We need to forgive them, which is hard sometimes because they know no better. And you know, whenever I say those words, they know no better, it reminds me of Jesus when he went to the cross. And I want us to turn to Luke 23 now, if we can, please. Just turn to Luke 23. And we're going to think about those last moments when Jesus was on the cross. So Luke 23, and we're going to start reading at verse 32. Two different men who were criminals also were led with him to be killed. And when they came to the place which is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they divided his clothes by casting lots. The people stood by watching, but the rulers with them scoffed, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him sour wine, saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same sentence? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, the words of Jesus to finish, Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. What forgiveness. Jesus' compassion for people shown forgiveness. Forgiveness in his last moments on earth. forgiveness in his last moments on the cross. Now, if that is not an example to us as to how we should forgive people, then I don't know what is. Do you, friends? Think about that. He forgave. He forgave them. They know no better. He forgave our sins. He went before us on that cross to forgive us of the consequences of our sins. And for those who know him and believe in him, we can live joyous and free lives because of it. Jesus's compassion for people was shown through his forgiveness. And when compassion oozes out of us, then we must forgive too. And it almost becomes a natural thing, doesn't it? Have you witnessed that? That you tend to forgive easier because the compassion starts to flow out of you like the fruit of the Spirit. It flows and you can forgive easier because of it. But, you know, we shouldn't have any choice but to forgive because of that. Because he is in us. He's a gappy love of God. He's in us. And I spoke on Wednesday about love being active and compassion needing to be activated. And activating your compassion, taking it out of the closet, taking it out of your heart closet and putting it into action. Yeah? Amen. If we think about the scripture from Corinthians, most people know this. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. So now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we must walk in love, agape love. The love that you just can't help but let it flow out of you. Do you know, there's sometimes the parents where I work, and I've got to be careful what I say, but some of them can be quite volatile. They really can. And they can say really cruel, unkind words to the teachers. There's like a lack of respect in the world at the moment. Teachers used to have in the Victorian days a real sort of hierarchy, didn't they? And people wouldn't dare speak to a teacher in a rude or bad manner. But these days, there just seems to be a lack of respect. And there's been things said that have been really quite hurtful. But I can't help but love them. I can't help but love them. And it's because I've got Jesus in me that I believe that truly, because they know no better. They know no better. And all I can do in return is show them Jesus's love. I might not be able to talk freely about Jesus all the time with them. I do sometimes. But just showing them the love, showing that you love them and you care for them, even though they're being really horrible and nasty to you. Yeah? And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? I can see some of you going, oh, I don't know whether I could do that if someone says something so horrible to me. How do you do that? How do you actually do that? But if you've got Jesus and the fruits flowing out of you, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, it should be coming quite easy with us, showing that compassion and that love that Jesus did in the Bible. Study your Bible and you'll find out just how compassionate and how loving Jesus was. But the truth is also this, friends, that the enemy also has a plan. And the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The enemy isn't naive, friends. Don't believe he is, because he's not. He has plans. He has plans to destroy us. He has plans each day of your lives to get in there and destroy. And he will destroy everything that God has created if he could. If he could. But he can't. Because faith is the victory and he can't. And that is why we must walk in faith. And we must walk in faith because faith is the victory. And we don't need to go into that sermon because we've had it recently. It should all be fresh in your mind. Amen. We have the victory. Faith is the victory. So we as believers need to step out in faith and use the compassion, the love, the mercy, the grace that Jesus has put within us to make that difference in the world. And we pray in our church for this community, don't we? We pray. And there is a difference because we're shining our lights, as Louise said at the beginning. We're shining our lights. We're shining our lights for the Lord because Jesus is in us. He is our light and he will outshine the darkness. He will outshine the darkness. He does because he is the light. He is brighter than any other light. But we, friends, can make that difference. The Holy Spirit wants to use us. He wants to develop us. He wants to help us to draw others to know him. And friends, sometimes, and please don't feel any condemnation in this, I'm saying this openly and honestly to you this morning. Sometimes, and I used to do it too, we come to church, we take what we can, take it all for ourselves, and off we go home. Yeah? Do we do anything with it? Might do in our lives, but do we apply it and try to use it in anybody else's lives? Just something to think about that. Because very often, churches can become quite selfish places. And it's all about you. It's all about you coming in and taking, 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 taking. Yes, we need to. We need to digest and we need to develop. But then what are we doing with it afterwards? Are we sharing it with our families? Are we sharing it with friends? Are we listening and being led by the Spirit to evangelize and to share it with others in the community? And everyone goes, ooh, because I'm not an evangelist. I can't do that. But we are all called to evangelize, aren't we, friends? We are all called to evangelize, and we need to share that. We need to share his love. The Holy Spirit wants to use us, and we need to allow it to happen. We can make that difference for the Lord. It's all glory to God. It's not about us. It's about him. Change lives. We all know, if you are a believer here, you all know what a difference Jesus makes in our lives. Doesn't it? Absolutely. Do you not want to share it? I do. I'm going to ask the children now. Children, a test for you. Who thinks they can remember the first three containers? Do you remember the containers that Pastor Steve speaks about very regularly? We've got three containers. There's actually four, but I only want the first three. Go on, Sam.